What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Texan Overtime Podcast. This is a special week for us here at the podcast, as it is Texas OU week. And today I'm here with a full crew. I have senior writer and my co-writer on football, Daniela Perez. I have our DC editor, Marcus Crum. And from the Dallas Morning News, I have my boy Alex Brasino. And today we have a special guest with us, and I'm going to let Alex introduce him.
Yeah, man. So this is the man. He's the sports editor at the OU Daily. He helped put together half of the Red River collaboration issue that we put out on Thursday. He's also been a brother to me. George Stoya, how you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? Happy to be here.
All right, so we'll start you off with a quick icebreaker. We had fun with this one last year. So you're stranded on an island, and you got to pick one state fair food to live off of and a college mascot to keep you company. What do you pick?
I've got to go with the Fletcher's Corny Dog. It's a classic. It's very it's a basic answer. But there was one year – I've been going to OU Texas my entire life. But there was one year, I want to say my freshman year of college, I ate like eight of those suckers in one day. So – I could easily live off those for a really long time. And, I mean, there's a lot of protein in them if you think about it. Plus, like, you have, like, the bread. And if if they're making them, too, like, on the island, like, you have to think about it. You have to, like, fry them. So, like, you could drink, like, what is that? The oil or whatever? You could drink the oil, probably.
Oh. All right.
And then just
definitely goes to OU.
Here. And then what was the other? Oh. The other question was mascot. You guys are not going to like this one, I don't think.
No.
But I think you have to go with Ugga, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I know, the whole Bevo incident last year. I thought we were going to have to kill Bevo there for a second.
Yeah.
But,
George. Slow down, George. Slow down.
I don't know. But, I think PETA was close
to it. You have
to
have Ugga, bro. Ugga's a good, it's a good dog, good boy, and, keep you company. But I think it was last year on this podcast, maybe it was this podcast or a different podcast, but didn't I say something like I'd eat like Bill Snyder or something?
Yeah,
Alex?
Verbatim. Yeah. That is what you said.
Yeah, I take that back. I don't think I'd eat Bill Snyder. Anyways, next question.
That was kind of the quote of the pod. Why are you taking it back? Is it because he retired and he's really old?
I don't remember the context, but I remember when you asked me to be back on the podcast, I was like, I can't believe they're asking me back on after last year I said that I'd eat Bill Snyder.
I don't even
remember what it was about.
I think the question was oddly similar. I think it was if you were stranded on an island and you have to pick one head coach to live with or to try and survive with. You said Bill Snyder, and then you listed off a few reasons, because, he's...
Okay, then this makes sense, actually. So I take back the Ugga answer, and I will now pick Bevo, because when Bevo dies, I can eat it.
There's a lot of food there. But I don't know,
yeah,
like, Ugga...
Exactly.
Ugga's pretty cute. I would like to clarify that I am Team Ugga, even after everything that's going on. You are right. I think PETA was one step away from trying to put down Bevo, but... I think the state of Texas kind of shut that down. Let's go around real quick and get some answers from everybody. Daniela?
Okay, so the food that I would pick is just a generic hot dog. Just very
wow.
generic hot
Jeez.
Dog. I could live off of that forever.
And the mascot?
The mascot would also be Ugga because he would be my best friend forever.
Okay.
And I would never eat him.
All right, the food I'm picking, I would say the funnel cake. Because I think that's a classic.
Nice.
That's
yep.
a dessert. You got lots of nutrients. It's fried bread. That's all you really need. And for the mascot, I think the Stanford tree.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, because here's the thing. Look, you got a companion. Okay, he's going to be loyal. He's a tree. He can't go anywhere. Okay. Second thing, potentially lumber, shelter, if you need
Ooh.
It. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you would kill him.
Well,
that's a good
maybe.
Point.
I mean, if you needed to, though.
Okay.
It's last, a last-ditch effort. It's kind of like if you have... Bill Snyder on the island, and you have to eat him, you might. It's
okay.
kind of the same thing here.
Got it.
All right. y'all wildin'. All right, so I'm going to go with just hand me the turkey leg, and I will live off of the turkey leg, and I'm good with that. And then for my mascot, give me the Oregon duck. I don't know his name, but he looks like a very fun duck, and I think it would make being stranded on a deserted island a lot
better. I think
better.
Somebody had the name. What was it?
Someone said
is
Donald.
So,
that's not right.
So
There's
So I looked it up, and they said Donald, but it can't be Donald just because of like
Donald
Duck.
Yeah,
right?
Just because of like Disney copyright stuff. So shout out to Disney and the monopoly that they have. But But yeah, so I don't know his name, so we're just going to call him the Oregon Duck.
Yeah, so I have to go with the Fletcher's Corny Dog, and I guess I'll do fried Oreos.
Hell yeah, brother.
I'll do fried Oreos, too, since you kind of already picked that. My mascot, for similar reasons as everybody, I'm going to go Ralphie the Buffalo, if he's tame. If we can be buds, I think we could go – I could last a really long time with him because, one, I mean, he's going to keep me warm when it's cold.
So true.
If it's cold on an island.
It's an island, yeah, it won't be cold.
But he's also going to give me a lot of food when I kill him.
This is so dark. Star Wars, like, hiding inside.
I could also ride. Yeah,
that's like, it's like in Rick and Morty when it's like, the winter's coming, brace yourself. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't.
That's Game of Thrones.
No.
That's The Revenant when Leo stayed in that horse.
I'm talking about a very specific incident.
What is it in Star Wars that they.
I don't know.
Like, they kill the one animal and he sleeps in it.
I don't know. I've never seen. It's like the one.
They're on, like, some ice. We'll talk about that planet after. And they just like hide in somebody. I don't know.
All right, I got one more corn dog question for you. So for somebody, we have I think three people, Daniela, Marcus, and Donovan, who are reporting at the Cotton Bowl for the first time. So I guess for people who haven't been to the state fair, how would you describe a Fletcher's corn dog?
Are you asking me this question?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, like, do you guys have Sonic in Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So have you ever had a Sonic corn dog?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are trash compared to this. And like what makes it really good is like you go up and you order it. And speaking of which, there's like a secret like Fletcher's corny dog. Like if you've been to the state fair enough, there's like a secret one hidden behind the one ride that like spins around a lot. I don't know what the name of it is, but it's hidden and I know where it is. But that's a tidbit. But anyways. You walk up and it's like they fry the dog like right in front of you, and so when they hand it to you, it's like extremely hot when you first eat it, and like the way like your teeth just kind of like sink into it. It's not like a regular corn dog, like the ones that you grew up when you were a kid and you buy them frozen and you just heat them up in the microwave and you're like, oh, it's a good corn dog. No, like this thing is like legitimate, and it's I don't really know how to describe it. You have to have mustard on it, I think. Like some people will put ketchup or just eat it plain, and that's kind of gross. Like, I don't know how, like, you, I mean, Alex, wouldn't you say you have to put mustard on it? But I don't know. I don't know how to really describe it to somebody.
I don't do mustard. I just do ketchup. Do you do both?
No, I just do mustard. You're crazy.
I just do mustard, too.
I hate mustard.
Mustard is made for hot dogs. That's what it's
for. I do a little bit of relish, some mayonnaise. No, I'm kidding. I just do ketchup. I can't stand mustard.
You're so weird, strange. Man.
Childish.
I would do a lot of things.
You got to put something on it, though. You can't eat it plain.
Oh, no. That's torturous. I know, you know, just for the sake of time, we're going to move on to a few questions we have from the game to one of the stories you wrote. So we'll jump into that.
Yeah, so, George, listen, and first off, you know, thank you, you know, for everything that you did, you know, for helping us, you know, get this collab paper off. You know, I think both of us are very happy in everything that came out. And so I want to ask you about your story, about your horns down. First off, so what's the latest update on the horns down issue, and how do you feel about it personally?
That's a great question. And yeah, I appreciate you guys helping out with this paper. It was awesome. But the horns down story, for those that don't know, it's about how the university, or I guess the athletic department, is not allowing the Spirit Squad, so that would be mascots, cheerleaders, pom squad, you name it, can't do the horns down on social media or while they're at events that are obviously Oklahoma events or any of that nature. But there really is no more update. I mean, the athletic department was not happy with me, I can tell you that. But there has been no change in the rule, and it is, you know, a fairly recent rule from my understanding, the sources that I talked to. This wasn't something that was implemented until really last year, and kind of around the time that all of this horns down controversy happened. And in my opinion, you know, as somebody that's just grown up a fan of this rivalry, you know, I think it's just kind of, it's ridiculous, one, and a little bit baffling, just in the sense that, you know, what makes this rivalry so great is that there is so much hatred between the two schools, but I think there's also a healthy respect. And you know, I think if you were to ask a lot of Texas fans, and maybe you guys disagree with me, but I feel like a lot of Texas fans and people that attend Texas really, I mean, of course, I'm sure they don't like it, but I think they kind of respect it and know that it's just a part of the rivalry. Now, when West Virginia is doing it or OSU or whatever, I can see Texas fans taking offense to it. But, like, this has been going on for 50 or more years, OU fans doing this. And so when the school comes down and says, hey, the Spirit Squad, who's supposed to be, like, this rallying cry for the university, people that are supposed to rile up the crowd, are not allowed to do horns down, I think it just angers people even more and creates this animosity that really doesn't need to be there. And so I know fans are super fired up about it because they're just doing horns down more than they've ever done it. So it really just makes no sense to me why they would do that. So, and again, personally, I just think it's just ridiculous because in the end, it's just fun. I mean, it's not like, now if somebody was doing it to like harm someone, which I don't know how you would do that, but, or taunting in someone's face just to make them mad, then that doesn't really make sense. But I mean, it's been like OU's basically their hand gesture for the last, you know, 30 or so years, 40 years. So it's just kind of stupid in my opinion.
No, listen, I think everybody here is 100% with you. I mean, it's a rivalry. It's supposed to get, it's supposed to be disrespectful. And the fact that people are getting offended on it, that's what it's here to do. And, you know, when you guys have played a game for 115 years, you know, feelings are going to get hurt, but that's part of the game. And so I know a lot of people out here, they don't like when OU does it because usually they do it after something good happens, but they appreciate it in the spirit of the rivalry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're actually not going to – do you think the players are actually going to listen to Lincoln Riley, or do you think Lincoln Riley's being honest when he says that, you know, the team's not going to do it?
Well, I think back to the Big 12 championship game last year, and that was kind of, I think, a few weeks after the Will Greer thing happened. And they didn't do it during the Big 12 championship game. I don't think they'll do it during the game. Now, you know, if it ends up being some sort of blowout, which I don't think it will be, but if OU somehow blows them out and, you know, they score like a touchdown to go up 30 or something, then I wouldn't be surprised if someone did it. Or, you know, they make a big play at the end of the game and they do it. But I think these players are smart enough and Lincoln's smart enough to not allow that to happen in a way that it could hurt them. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it makes sense. Like, I don't understand people that are mad at Lincoln for saying them not to do it, because you don't want to get a 15-yard penalty on a hand gesture. Yeah. That's just stupidity. Now, you can be mad at the rule itself. I think that's stupid. But, I mean, as players, I don't think they'll do it. I mean, if they win the game, they're definitely going to do it after the game when they take pictures and stuff like that. But during the game, no, I don't. They might do it on the sidelines where they can't get penalized, but even then, I don't think they'll do it until after the game.
You know, and in talking in the game about the game, I think this is a perfect segue into my question. So, just moving on to Saturday, a lot of people have been super outspoken about how this Oklahoma defense is, you know, a force to be reckoned with. So, is this defense as improved as some people think?
Oh, that's a good question, and I've been on like, feels like 10 podcasts this week, and this continues to be like the first question I get, and it's interesting. I think they're definitely improved, but that's not saying much because they've been horrible the past couple years. So they're definitely improved. The effort's better, the mentality's better. I think they're running a scheme that's you know, a little more helpful for the secondary that struggled in the past. But you have to remember that, you know, 9 of these guys that start for this defense were on the team last year and really 2 years ago. And so, you know, you look at the personnel, it hasn't really changed. But yes, I would say they're better, but are they world beaters? Definitely not. Are they an average defense? I think so. They're getting stops. I think they're right now like 10th in the nation in third down defense. They're forcing turnovers. I think they have 6 so far this year. And at this time last year, I think they had 2 or 3. They're definitely playing better. But they also haven't really played a whole lot of really good offensive teams. I mean, I think you look at Texas Tech is probably the best offensive team that they've played this year, and they pretty much shut them down. But Jet Duffy was the quarterback, and of course he played well against Oklahoma State a week ago, but I don't think they've really been tested. So I think this game comes at almost really a perfect time for Oklahoma, in the sense that we're going to find out a lot about this team because they haven't truly been tested yet. And I want to see them go up against a quarterback like Sam Ellinger, wide receivers like Colin Johnson, Devin Duvernay, and probably the best offensive line they've faced so far this year, at least the most physical. Mm-hmm. And I know guys like Neville Gallimore and Ronnie Perkins and those guys have played really well up front, but it'll be interesting to see how they do against, you know, Shackelford and Cosme and those guys up front. So it'll be interesting to see. I think we're going to find out if they're a real defense, you know, Saturday. That's the big storyline, at least here in Norman.
So, George, the prolific Oklahoma offense, I mean, Lincoln Riley has pretty much turned out great quarterbacks just, you know, easily each year. Where does Jalen rank among, you know, the past few quarterbacks that you've been able to cover at Oklahoma?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, in terms of interviews, he's the worst. He sucks.
He's horrible. I hope
he's not listening. Well, he's definitely not listening. but he's a bad interview. But in terms of on the field, I said this the other day, and I think I'm in the minority here, but I think I take Kyler over all of them. I just like the way Kyler throws the ball. I think he's extremely accurate. I think his deep ball's fantastic. And then you add his ability to move around in the pocket and be able to run on the field is he's got speed. He's the fastest player on the field at all times, and that's incredible as a quarterback. So I think I'd take Kyler. I don't know if I can say where Jalen is yet. I think I want to put him as third right now.
Okay.
I don't think he's as good in the pocket as Baker and Kyler are. He likes to take off pretty quickly. He's not as accurate. He doesn't really have the deep ball threat. And of course, I don't really think they have a deep threat really either at wide receiver like Marquise Brown or Dede Westbrook. Charleston Rambo's kind of filling that role right now, but he's not, you know, a Marquise Brown or Dede Westbrook in the sense of just being able to burn people. And so I would probably put him third right now, but I mean, right, he's on pace to top all of their numbers,
right,
which is just incredible. But I think it's also, like you said, a testament to Lincoln Riley, who's time and time again continues to, instead of molding his quarterback to fit his offense, he molds his offense to fit his quarterback. So I don't know. I don't think he's a number one draft pick. I think he could end up winning the Heisman, but I don't think he's a guy that a whole bunch of NFL teams will be like, yeah, we want Jalen Hurts in the first round.
So do you think the year that he's been having so far is more of a testament to Jalen's talent or to Lincoln Riley's talent at developing quarterbacks?
I don't want to take anything away from Jalen because I think he's a great player, and he's got a really good mindset of just knowing how to win. Obviously, at Alabama, he won a national title. Even if he was benched, he was still on that team. He's done something that nobody else here at Oklahoma has done, and he's probably one of the better leaders of those three, too. But I would have to probably give the edge to Lincoln just because the way he sets his offense up and the ability to, you know, run the ball to set up the pass and then being able to – I mean, he's running plays that just blow your mind, especially – I mean, I think it was – Dan Overlowski or somebody was talking about how they're not doing run pass option, they're doing pass run option, which, like, I'm no offensive guru or football guru, but like that's just absurd, some of the plays they're running. So I think I have to give the edge to Lincoln because he just does a really good job of setting his players up for success.
All right, and last few questions. What do you think the keys to the game are? I was hesitant to ask you this because it seems like, you know, the past few meetings it's been just a matter of which defense is going to be able to get off the field without giving up 55 points. So, I mean, I know there's some injuries at offensive line for OU. There's some injuries in the secondary for Texas. So, you know, what are some of the leading storylines and keys to the game, in your opinion?
Well, I think for Oklahoma, they have to be able to run the ball. If you look back at last week's game against Kansas, and of course it's Kansas, and I don't think they were really thinking about Kansas too much. They weren't able to run the ball with their two starting offensive tackles out, and it looks like they're not getting either one of those back on Saturday. So they've got to be able to run the football because if not, then you're going to be relying on Jalen Barm. And I don't think they're comfortable doing that yet. Whereas in the past, if they couldn't run the ball, Baker or Kyler could kind of bail them out. So I think Oklahoma's going to need to be able to run the ball. I do think they can attack that Texas secondary a little bit. But, I mean, if Texas just loads the box and shuts down the run, then I think it'll be interesting there. And then defensively for Oklahoma, I think they want to make Sam Ellinger beat him with his arm. And really, I think even then, I think they're going to have a tough time because I think Sam's improved tremendously as a passer, at least from what I've seen. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the country right now. And so defensively, I want to see if OU can, in the secondary, stop Texas from throwing the ball down the field. Because if you remember last year, Trey Brown and Parnell Motley, who are again starting at corner this year for Oklahoma, just kept getting burnt time and time again by little Jordan Humphrey and Colin Johnson. So I think those are the two storylines: is can OU run the football, and can OU secondary stop Sam Ehlinger in that pass game? So, and then for Texas, I think the key is the exact opposite. Can Sam Ehlinger get the ball out to those playmakers? And they probably need to be able to run the ball. I know they haven't been able to run it nearly as well as they want to. I mean, aren't they playing like a quarterback at running back? So
I think their third-string quarterback is inching his way to being RB1 going into Saturday.
Exactly. So, I mean, if they can run the football with him, then OU's probably in trouble. And then defensively, I think they have to be able to get after Jalen Hurts and make him feel uncomfortable. And they have to be extremely good on third and long. OU's been really good on third and long offensively. So if Texas can get those stops, then I think they'll have a chance to beat Oklahoma. But here's the thing, and you guys know this from watching this game, is, you know, it's turnovers, special teams. It's those small things that can turn this game in an instant. So whoever returns a kick or forces a fumble or gets an interception, that team's probably going to win this game because the momentum just flips like that.
All right, man, I got two more questions for you, and I'll let you get out of here. Give me a score prediction, and do you think these teams will meet again in Dallas in December?
Man, I don't – that's a good question. I said earlier this week my score is 48-38, which I think is, like, right on the line. I have Oklahoma winning 48-38. I think Oklahoma's defense gets some stops late. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. And so I have Oklahoma winning – but I think it could be a lot closer than 10 points. It could come down to a field goal. And then, wait, what was the second question? Oh, Big 12 championship. I think it's going to be – I think Oklahoma will be there, win or lost this weekend. I really like Baylor. I think Baylor's really good. But yeah, I do think they'll play again. I think
come on.
I mean, I like my dark horse before the season was, I was like, watch out for Baylor, and now they're proving me right. So sick 'em Bears. But I think they have Texas and Oklahoma in Waco, so that's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the game I circled, the game that I think Oklahoma could slip up and lose. So I like Baylor, but I think Texas and Oklahoma do meet again in the Big 12 championship. And I actually got an interesting question the other day that was like, you know, does if Oklahoma beats Texas this weekend and then Texas beats Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship, who's ranked higher for like a two-loss Texas team or a one-loss Oklahoma team? And does Oklahoma get into the playoff? And I was like, that is a really tough question. But I think Oklahoma has to run the table. I think Texas obviously has a really good non-conference loss, and they have to run the table. So this game, I mean, this game's kind of season-defining this weekend if you really think about it.
All right, that's all we have this week on Texan Overtime. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to follow Texan Sports on Twitter and read everybody's story, including me, Daniela, Alex, and the rest of the sports crew at dailytexanonline.com.